every man will sing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rockin' robin, tweet, 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 rockin' robin, tweet, tweet, go rockin' robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, singing go bird, go rockin' robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, rockin' robin, tweet.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. Rockin' Robin means that we are going to talk about nature. Guess what? We have a naturalist on the line. We are chatting it up with Abby Holden, who is a naturalist at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and we are darn excited to hear what is going on. How have you been, Abby?
I've been pretty good, Mo. How about you?
Well, I'm good, thank you. So here's the deal about nature that I love. It doesn't know there's a pandemic going on.
Exactly.
It keeps doing its thing. You know, if there's anything that we can say is normal about these days, it's that spring has come and now summer is here and it's all good, isn't it?
Exactly. And I've actually heard a lot of visitors out of Bend coming to the Nature Center say that they're actually seeing more wildlife this year because they don't have other events going on and they're spending more quality time out in nature. So we love to hear that as well, that this summer has been really good for people catching those awesome experiences.
And I bet a lot of people are so tired of being cooped up at home that it's been fun for them to get out and hit your trails, because those have been open the whole time. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So our visitor center has been closed, but our trails are open the same 8 to 4:30 and then sun up to sundown on our Wisconsin campus. And so we've seen a lot of visitors, and you can, you know, sometimes almost even tell their mood difference from when they get out of the car to when they get back in.
How does that work then? You can just follow the trails, and do you need are you self-guided? What's it like for somebody that's not been there, please?
Yeah, so we don't have any permit system or anything like that. It's totally free to come by our visitor center, although it's closed. There is a little bit of a box with some maps in it, so you can follow your own way. We do have some paved trails that are really nice for strollers or maybe somebody in a wheelchair or just wants a nice, smoother trail. And then we also have trails that are grass and a little more rugged, so it's kind of a pick-your-own-adventure style, which is really nice. And then you can spread out really nice and easy because we have quite a few miles worth of trails as well.
But don't be nervous that you're going to get lost and then we'll hear about you on KDWA. You've been lost for a couple of days. Okay. I do like the trails that are paved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even just to walk on. It's so
and
fun.
And honestly, our paved ones, you get a lot of bang for your buck. They go down to our overlook that looks at our eagle's nest. And I just saw them down there this morning and gets a nice view of the river, so you get something really easy.
We love
with
that.
With a lot of effort.
So trails are open and they're free. That's pretty cool. And I know you have other programming going on that you wanted to be sure and let us know about.
Sure. So we have our summer camps going. We had our first day of summer camp today, actually.
Tell us about that.
It was great. So it was 5 to 8-year-olds, and we did birds today. So obviously with everything going on, we've tried to modify our summer camps to keep them safe with everything in mind. So our camps are mostly outside, which we do anyways, right? But we have a really nice pavilion out back so that we're covered in the rain and we can stay safe while social distancing outside. And so today we took kids on a bird hike. They got to dissect some owl pellets to see what our past animal ambassador has eaten. So
can I tell you, I'm so glad that you're not in person today, because I know darn well you would have brought one of those for me to dissect.
We probably would have and had you try and put the mouse back together.
No. Is that what you found in there?
Mm-hmm. So they're owl pellets, which our old owl used to just swallow mice whole, so it makes their pellets really fun for kids to put back together because the bones of the mice are still really intact. So it's pretty fun to watch them.
An owl can swallow a mouse whole?
Depending on the size, yeah, for sure.
What? Okay.
They just kind of close their eyes for protection and then just swallow it all down. We always tell kids it would be like swallowing a whole chicken nugget.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. So that must have been so fascinating, because these kids were 5 to 8 years old, you said? perfect age.
Yeah, it was great. And they got to see, you know, a lot of raptors and other songbirds on a bird hike. So we got a nice, good mix of activities today.
You did this all in one day. You got to see birds. You went on a hike and you got to dissect the pellets.
Yeah, so our camps this year, they're all half-day camps from 9 to noon, excuse me, and we're really limited with the number of people to help us be able to social distance, so we're only letting 8 kids in each camp, but that makes it really fun for the kids because they get really hands-on stuff. It's a lot easier to pack in more stuff in a short amount of time when you have less kids, so they get a really, really personal hands-on experience.
So let's get back to owls and what they eat. I guess I thought they ate worms like a lot of other birds.
Yeah, the songbirds. So there's a lot of songbirds that eat worms, like robins and more insects and stuff like that. A lot of birds will eat grasshoppers and everything. But raptors, actually, they're part of the reason they are raptors because they eat meat, like red meat. So they'll eat more like bunnies and squirrels and mice. Some will even eat other smaller birds. Hawks will eat snakes.
What?
So, owls are, some of them are more diverse, like hawks will eat more range of things, but owls pretty much like the cute fuzzy ones. They go for the mice, the bunnies, and the squirrels.
And what did the kids think of that?
I think some of them are a little bit like, at first, but then, you know, we try to explain, like, the owls not being mean, right? Just like we're not mean when we eat chicken nuggets. It's just kind of part of the circle of life. So after you explain that a little bit, then they get pretty excited to dive into the pellets.
And you wore gloves, I hope.
Yes, and they've also been sanitized as well in the freezer. So there's no, you know, wash our hands, everything, so it's all safe.
I'm sorry I missed that today.
Right? I know. Me too. I'll send you one in the mail.
Oh, no, thank you. There must be laws against that. No, thank you.
Right?
So, Abby, tell us other kinds of camps that you have going on, and can we still sign up for them, please?
Absolutely. So we have another birds camp, but it's meant for the older kids this Thursday, and there's definitely still spots left. If you're just hearing this today or tomorrow and want to call in, you can. But we have our other themes this year. So we have birds this week, and then our reptiles and amphibians are actually full, which is a bummer, but that's a really cool one. And then we have an invertebrates camp where we look at insects and aquatic invertebrates. And then we also have an outdoor skills camp where you learn about camping and about wild edibles and survival skills, and that's a really cool one as well. So those are the four groups. Each are split up into 5 and 8 year olds and then 9 and 13 year olds.
What are some of the edibles that we might encounter? I mean, I know if I see a raspberry, I could probably eat it. But what else?
Right now we just had some kids try some today. The black raspberries are out and blooming, which has been awesome. They've loved all the rain. We have here, we also have wild plums that help with our orchard. The crab apples you don't want to eat, obviously. We have gooseberries you can find. Obviously, there's some mushrooms like morels, but we've passed that season already. There are some like grasses, like plantains and stuff you can eat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But we always try and stress to people, like, you have to be 100% sure before you put something in your mouth. You know, that's a good way to not get poisoning, because a lot of things that are edible will have ones that look just like it but are not, you know, with a few minor differences. So you always want to be 100% sure before you eat anything.
Especially mushrooms, right?
Yes, and mushrooms can be super toxic if they're not the right ones. But if they're the right ones, then they're really good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to be super careful.
When we're on the trails, we're not going to be tempted by a little smorgasbord of...
I feel like if you're tempted, then maybe you have good identification skills, you know? So it kind of goes both ways. Some of them you have to look for a little harder.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to just stay clear of that. So what else is going on? You have all these great camps, and how can we sign up, please?
So camps, the best way to call is to just call. It's 651-437-4359, and you're going to ask for Mamie. And Mamie can help you. We have some special health forms this year due to all the pandemic stuff that's going on. So there's a couple extra steps, but it's still pretty easy. You either mail in or email in all of your health forms, and it's super quick and easy to do it that way. We are asking to do payments ahead of time instead of doing hands-on checks or anything like that. We can do all of that over the phone.
And what about masks? Are we wearing masks?
Yes, so we do ask that kids bring masks. If the situation presents itself where we are 6 feet apart and spread apart outside, then we can let kids take, ma- kids take their masks off. But if we're ever inside or within 6 feet of each other, we all wear masks, including the instructors. And the counselors and the instructors will actually wear their masks the entire camp, regardless of distance. So it's a nice, good way to have that assurity that we're taking every step we can.
Abby, tell us what a naturalist is, please.
Sure. So a naturalist can mean a couple different things. So sometimes I do outreach, which means we're taking animals and stuff into schools, and sometimes we're here on site. And a naturalist is a good person that interprets nature for the public. So that I mean they might just have a little bit higher of knowledge into some cool things in nature, and then they help the public understand that by interpretation and hands-on experiences. Not to say I know everything. I definitely still learn new things every day. But it's just usually have a better understanding of science and stuff than maybe the general public.
Did you love science when you were in school?
I think I didn't realize that I loved it, but I really liked the hands-on part of it. I don't know if I was always like, oh, I love science, but then when I got to class doing the hands-on stuff and be able to like always learn new things, definitely what drew me to it as an adult, for sure.
Like the labs and stuff?
Yep, absolutely. Labs were the best class, for sure.
So I know that you are very hands-on and you know a lot about monarchs. And can I tell you a little monarch story?
Absolutely.
Your wonderful friend, Jen Veith, who's the executive director of the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, she always tries to encourage me in my quest to learn more about nature. And she told me if I wanted to have monarchs that I should plant some certain plants. Mm-hmm. And then she took it a step further. I was able to buy some from you guys at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. Guess what? I have a ton of monarchs.
Yes, that's so awesome to hear that you did that whole, it's so rewarding, isn't it?
It's so
almost like growing
rewarding.
Vegetables.
Yes, yes. So I just think they're such beautiful, beautiful creatures. So tell people about, can we still buy plants from you, or is that kind of closed probably right now?
So it's closed right now, and I think it kind of depends on if we've collected seed this year or not, so it sort of depends. With the lower volunteer capabilities this last, you know, a couple seasons, we might not have as much of that. But there are a ton of local seed plants, places and nurseries where you can buy seeds from, so you're definitely not out of luck, even though you can't get it from us. So milkweed is definitely the one you're looking for if you're looking for monarchs specifically.
And milkweed actually has a beautiful flower, too.
And they smell great. By our little water feature, by our visitor center, they're all blooming right now. And walking by, even with a mask on, you can smell it through your mask.
So what is it about milkweed that monarchs are attracted to?
So monarchs like them because their larvae will eat it, and then they actually pick up toxins from the plants that make other animals not want to eat them due to these toxins. So that's one reason that they love it. And also they have good nectar and energy that allows them to go through this crazy metamorphosis and migration down to Mexico.
So tell us more about monarchs, please.
Sure. So they're going to start off as an egg, and they're super, super small on the underside of the milkweed leaf. And then when they hatch, it really doesn't take very long at all for them to grow. And they're going to eat 200 times their weight a day to be able to grow into that bigger size. When they're first born, you can fit 3 new caterpillars on 1 grain of rice. So they do a lot of growing by the time we notice them usually. And then as they get bigger, you'll notice that they start to crawl up a stem and they form a J, like an upside down J. And that's when you know they're going to get ready to form their chrysalis and go through the metamorphosis. So in their chrysalis, they basically turn back into like caterpillar soup. And they have all
the... Okay, stop. What?
Yeah, so if you notice how different a caterpillar looks from a butterfly, when they're in that chrysalis, they basically just kind of turn back into mush. And the caterpillar has all of the genetic coding it needs to turn into a butterfly, but the body has to do a bunch of rearranging. So by basically liquefying itself, it rearranges all of its body parts and DNA to then be able to form into a butterfly.
What? That's what's going on inside the chrysalis?
Yes, isn't that crazy? And scientists still are doing more work to be able to understand exactly what happens inside the chrysalis, but you can't disturb it too much, right, because it's so small and fragile.
Yes.
But they have a slightly idea, and they basically know that they turn just back into soup first.
How long of a process is this?
So it only takes a couple weeks for sure from the whole thing. So eggs, it only takes the egg once it's laid, like 4 to 12 days to hatch. And then they're caterpillars for only a couple weeks, and they grow that huge size. And then the chrysalis, I think, is only a couple weeks as well. So I think it's a whole month.
And what's going on right now? Is that happening now?
Yeah, so right now we have found some small eggs, and we also have small caterpillars. So the butterflies will have multiple generations here in the Midwest. And then once they hit the fourth or fifth generation, those are the adult butterflies that fly back down to Mexico.
And aren't they called like the super breed or something? Or what are they?
The super generation, yeah. So the ones up here right now, their job is just to eat and make more caterpillars and increase the population. And then about 4 or 5 cycles from now, in August, September, October, then those are the ones that are going to make the big trip.
Do they look any different?
Nope, they don't look any different. And actually, sometimes it's the fourth generation and sometimes it's the fifth. It kind of depends. If they're a fourth generation that doesn't find a good mate, but the days are getting shorter, they'll just say, oh, it's time to go to Mexico. But otherwise, they'll do another generation, and it'll be the fifth one. They don't look any different. They just know based on how long the days are and the temperature and everything like that.
It's just crazy.
Yes, it's amazing. I don't know how they do it.
It is amazing. So do they all have the ability to fly that far?
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Or is it just this last generation?
I think they all have the ability to fly that far, but they take the way over time to, that's where they reproduce their breeding grounds. So it's almost just like birds, how they make the flight and have breeding grounds and wintering grounds. And then when they come back up from Mexico, they'll make stops along the way and have generations there as well of offspring, but they won't be the big ones that make the flight.
So monarchs that are fluttering around my yard right now, how long will they live?
Oh, I forget. It's not very long. I want to say 2 weeks.
What? This is terrible news.
Right? Well, they get a pretty decent life, right?
Milkweed
flowers smell good. They just get to eat the whole time.
Right.
I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, well, let's not end on a negative note. Tell us something positive.
Sure. The one thing that I think is really funny, so I saw an article where the scientists described them as slow clappers because other butterflies will flap their wings like way, way faster than monarchs, like twice as fast. So monarchs always kind of seem like they're just slow and slugging around, which I thought was really funny and pretty true if you compare them to other butterflies.
It is. They're just beautiful. Abby, we learned a lot, like always. And if people want to learn more, they can come out to the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center and look at nature because your trails are open and they're free. And otherwise, give them a call at 651-437-4359 if you want to get your kiddo signed up for a summer camp yet this summer. Thank you so much, Abby, and thanks for all you're doing, and maybe we'll see you sometime soon.
I hope so, Mo. Thanks for having me on.
You are welcome, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a-bopping and a-singing.